Welcome to the first Your Super Coach Coach podcast of the 2013 season. I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day.
It's great to be back. And actually, this is our last Your Super Coach Coach podcast as well, Mark, because officially from 2013, we're rebranding. And from now on, we shall be known as just Super Coach Coach. We're dropping the Your, making it a bit more simple. And together with that, we're relaunching the website, supercoachcoach.com.au. The website is currently offline, but we're planning to release a limited beta on the 6th of February. We're going to be selecting a few fantasy members across different Facebook groups and get an initial testing group for the first 5 days, and then we'll launch publicly on the 11th. So on the 11th of Feb, we're launching supercoachcoach.com.au with all its brand spanking new features. Now, before we get into that, Mark, I know you want to talk to me about last year's grand final.
I do, mate. We made the grand final in, I think the league finished about 6th overall. It was the ultimate podcast grand final where we went head to head, and it was a close match, if I recall. But I guess the best team got over the line in the end, mate, and I'll take glory for the rest of the year. So if you need some super coach advice, you know where to come, Marcus.
Unfortunately, like the whole year, I could have held my super coach ability over yours, and you couldn't say squat, because what did I finish last year, Mark? 342nd.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good. I think that's what, 30 in the top 1,000, second year top 500. So I'm pushing out the consistency at the moment, Mark. But then you just, on the last week of Supercoach, we have to meet in the grand final and you have to pip me. And of course, you get bragging rights for summer. So that has been fun.
Although I'd actually rather to finish a higher overall, it just comes down to the best team on the day. I think Hawthorn were a better team than Sydney last year, but Sydney's the one that'll be remembered, and I think it'll be the same from our Supercoach League, mate. In 5 years' time, people will still be talking about how I won, not your overall ranking.
All right. Enough bragging, Mark. So we'll get on to explaining exactly what the new site will entail. So it's actually a fairly different concept that we're going for, and it's not actually out there in the community at the moment, which is precisely why we wanted to bring such a product to fantasy football in Australia. We know the scene has obviously developed a lot more in America and the UK, because there's a lot more money in it. And so Mark and I were trying to reinvent the wheel, if you would like. And what we've come up with is actually a donation-based community, Mark. It's a different concept.
It is very much a different concept, but it's hopefully the way forward. And we're trying to set up a real community-based website where we give a lot of power to the users, and building connections is sort of at the forefront of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So like Mark said, community first is the thing, and obviously you'd want it to be, considering we're requesting a donation of you. But although, you know, it is a donation-based community and it's not completely free, the benefits of that do come back to you in the form that, one, we're not going to show any ads to you, so it's going to be completely ad-free. And two, that because you're in a donation-based community, the community is also a bit more controlled. So typically what I've found in the past with a lot of fantasy-based forums is that it starts off pretty good. Community building gets really good, and the community really gets humming. And then after a while, once the community gets big enough, it starts getting infiltrated by more noobs and however you want to put it. And the community discussion generally degenerates. And I don't think there's not one big forum where everyone aggregates anymore and to talk Supercoach. You know, everybody's split up between the different fantasy groups, between different, you know, fantasy websites. And the reason for that is that it's hard to sustain a big community without, you know, a lot of nonsense coming in, a lot of rate my team, a lot of noob stuff starts creeping in. But, you know, with a donation-based community, we can control our members a little bit better, because you know that if you're joining the site, you're a lot more serious about your Supercoach. So we're planning for it to be just a minimum $2 donation. So just a gold coin donation to join, you get access to a community that's basically controlled. So The benefits are there. So apart from that, it is, in terms of site structure, a similar combo to previous years. So we're going with the blog and forum as the main drivers of user discussion and user content. Mark and I are going to be providing our podcast weekly throughout the season again. And we're going to have the wiki as well back. But of course, the success of that sort of just depends on the community, and hopefully with the increased community focus that the wiki sort of takes off, because did introduce it a couple of years ago, and whether it be the site not up to scratch or a community not up to scratch, it didn't quite take off. So we're giving it another go. And another one we're going to have is a user curated news section. So basically, any member can post to this news section, and it'll be moderated by a flagging system. And the benefit of that is that, you know, any one person controls it. So you're not reliant on Mark or I sitting on a computer and, you know, basically relying on us not having a life so that we can update you as soon as, you know, humanly possible, so that you get the most advantage. Now, with user curated news, any one of our members can just, you know, submit that news, and it gets verified through that flagging system, like I mentioned before, and automatically we'll post it to a live Twitter feed. It's a good, convenient way that's community driven to keep yourself abreast with injury updates. And Mark, we know how important that is, and we're going to talk about some rule changes this year, because with Supercoach's rolling lockout, which means it's really the Fanatics are really going to win this competition, because if a player gets withdrawn, you're going to need to pull them out, and if you don't, the bigger nerd next year will get ahead.
That's absolutely right. So I think that's going to increase the value of a group like ours, where we've already got a bunch of the top super coaches in the country at our site posting. We've got the expertise and bringing in a group of people that have similar interests. It's not going to be the fluff that you're going to get from other places around the internet at the moment.
Yeah, and I think a big change in the fantasy landscape. Now we have so many operators. It used to be a struggle. I remember when I first started up my blog 5 years ago. The reason I started it up is because I couldn't get any advice anywhere. So I wanted to, you know, add a voice onto the internet. And now 5 years down the track, with fantasy football, that way too many voices. So it's all about hearing the right ones, making sure that you're not listening to some random on the roof just yelling whatever he thinks and going with poor advice. So we're hoping by creating a control community that you're going to get, you know, good, genuine Supercoach discussion with other like-minded people. And that's the important thing, grouping like-minded people that are serious about their Supercoach. So apart from all that, multi-user blogging, we have that back. I think 2 years ago, I did launch sub-blogging on, I think, version 1.0 of your Supercoach coach, and that did take off a very small user base, and people responded very well in being able to, you know, give their own voice. And of course, I didn't quite expand on it as I probably should have, but this year we're returning to multi-user blogging. So that's
what does that mean?
So that means any one of our members can log in and submit a piece, and it will go straight to our front page. You know, basically be able to put out your own content and have the people that you discuss all your Supercoach with actually give you good feedback on your thoughts and be able to generate some genuine discussion outside of the traditional forum basis, because, you know, it's easy to get to have your voice lost in the forum. So hopefully it gives each one of our members a greater voice to air their opinions. And beyond that, we hope that, you know, it's going to build a genuinely great library of content that is, again, user generated. And to reward our users, Mark, what are we planning to give away every week?
$100 to the best article as voted by the users.
Yeah, by the users, for the users. That's the aim of the game. A new system that is curated by the users, blog content that is filled by the users, and obviously a great forum that is protected by a donation community that's humming in the background, and a wiki, of course, that is private to our own eyes. So maybe even more reason to contribute if, you know, you know that your prize information can't get to the eyes of the glaring public like it is across most sites. So that's basically the plan, Mark.
It is, and it's worked in other places, worked before on our site. I like the fact that the users determine what people see. whatever you guys think is good is what people is what's going to be promoted more on the front page. So I think that's a big feature, and I'm pretty excited about getting people on board and sifting through the quality that we already have.
So there you have it. That's basically the rough gist of it for the moment. Users are going to be rewarded for their content, and it's going to be a private community is the main takeaway. For now, it's just a little bit of a teaser. Get excited about it. Mark, should we head into some genuine Supercoach discussion for now?
Yeah, absolutely. I've already picked my team for a few times and changed it a few times. And yeah, I'm definitely interested in getting into some strategy. We should also mention the podcast will be free for the rest of the year. But if you do enjoy listening to the podcast, get across and become part of the site. First thing we want to talk about is rule changes. There's been a lot of rule changes for this year, even though there's been some significant ones in the last couple of years. There seems to be more, and they seem to be like they're going to really change the game this year. So you are going to have to pay attention to this sort of stuff and factor it into how you pick your team and how you're looking at trading, because things are quite different. First thing you're going to notice is when you log into your team, you now have one less defender and one less forward and two extra midfielders. What do you think about that, Marcus?
Brilliant, Mark. About bloody time, because
I agree with that.
Previously, Supercoach strategy really depended year to year on how good the fringe defenders were. So you got to look at your D5s to D7s to sort of decide, you know, what part of the ground you want to upgrade first, because there were parts of the ground where there was no real point getting fully upgraded, because you were better off with a rookie that was averaging 75 even, then bothering to go out of your way maybe to do a double trade just to get an upgrade to a defender that might only average 85.
Or even a similar problem last year where you had an Alice or a Morris on the ground scoring 30 a lot of the weeks. That was quite painful as well, having to play real fringe defensive rookies when you're better off now you can play some more midfield rookies that are going to score you more points.
Certainly. The major one, I think, Mark, is 30 trades. 30 trades, Mark. We're going to be so busy.
That's true. I know a couple of years ago when the buys came in and the Gold Coast started, they gave us 24 trades, and that was up from 20, and everyone thought that was crazy to have so many trades. So having an extra six on top of that. In 2009, we had 20 trades. So to have 10 extra trades really, really changes the game and allows you to be much more aggressive with your trading.
Can I say though, Mark, I'm glad the fantasy landscape is shaking up a bit. We're finally seeing it develop, and you can get a little glimpse of what it might look like 5 years down the track. We're heading down, you know, a lot more developed routes, like similar to America and UK. And it's taken a while, but it's good to see the actual fantasy providers starting to match some of the fantasy advice and you know, support websites that are out there, you know, Too Serious and all that, have put in such good work. And it's nice to see that, you know, the game's evolving together with whatever we've been providing. So a big discussion.
Sure. Now, trades, I think, they separate good coaches from the bad coaches. So having those extra trades, although it does make the game a little bit easier, it also offers more opportunity to make mistakes and more opportunity to take advantage. So I think that will make an even bigger difference this year. So I'm a little bit excited about that.
Yeah, because like you said, Mark, starting teams, especially with our types of websites around and our podcasts around, we just give away the good stuff. Everybody has similar stuff, but that's precisely it. It's all about the trading now. It's all about the decisions you make throughout the year. All you got to do is not screw up too badly if you're starting team, and you can win it.
Agree with that.
Which is the greatest thing about it. Now, we're also going to have an extra emergency, Mark. Thank God.
About time for this one as well. Yeah. As you've said, they're finally listening to us.
So
why did we have four lines to have bench positions but only three emergencies? It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
The fact now that we have four makes far more sense. It's also going to play a bigger role because of the rolling lockout. The biggest change that we've got for this year, though, and you did refer to it earlier, is the rolling lockout. Now, most coaches will remember from previous years where, like in the first round, if Richmond and Carlton played on the Thursday night, or last year when Sydney and GWS played the week before everyone else, those players were locked in. And then before the next game, then you could change whatever players were still left. You could still do trading. You could still change your captains and change your emergencies as long as those players hadn't already played. Now, this year, it's like that for every game. You don't just set your team on a Friday night and put your captain in and finish it off. It's going to be all weekend that you have the opportunity to change your team. Now, you might just leave it on a Friday night, especially if you're just a casual player doing the leagues, and you can still probably do quite well with that. But there is going to be a lot of opportunities to take advantage by paying attention, looking at who are laid out, and changing your emergencies or captains or vice captains.
And following our new user curated newsfeed, Mark.
That would be an advantage.
The other thing that's changing as well, Mark, and this is great for the casual players, is during the bye period, we are only going to have the best 18 scorers on field counted toward our total score. So number 19 to 20, if you, 22, if you got four donuts previously, you'd be hating Supercoach, thinking about quitting for the season. But this year, that's not going to be an issue at all. They're not even going to be considered in the scoring. You just get your best 18 scores. And honestly, that's the best way to do it because too many of the casual users were missing out last year. Personally, for the more serious guys, I didn't really ever see an issue with it. It was just another thing to strategize around. But I remember,
even though generally our site did quite well through the buys because we had planned for them, the scores were getting 1300s, 1400s, and it was quite a painful experience going through the weekend and watching it and seeing all these donuts and seeing people not scoring well. And we had a lot of injuries around the buys last year, so it meant that Supercoach wasn't as fun for 3 weeks, even though the results sort of went okay for us. It just wasn't as fun to follow. And I know, especially for more casual or semi-serious players, that just like disheartened them and they sort of stopped paying attention. And so I think a best 18 solution is a really good solution. And they tried having a bigger squad a couple of years ago to cope with the buys that were happening more often. But I think the best 18 is probably a better solution. It's only for 3 rounds. Yeah, good on Supercoach and Champion Data for bringing it out. There's one more change that we haven't mentioned, and that is the introduction of the draft game. People with Supercoach Gold remember last year that you could participate in drafts where you could pick a team. It'd be like the real AFL draft, but for Supercoach players, and you'd join with a bunch of mates and you'd pick your team. Each player could only be in one team. So this is a way that it's really big in NFL and international fantasy competitions.
Yep.
It's been available, made free to the public this year. So you can only join one draft league. That's probably all you want to join because it is a little bit of work, but it's definitely a fun new way of going about it that they've included into the Supercoach model.
Yeah, I certainly hope that Australians respond to it because, like you said, Mark, this has really taken off overseas. And the reason for that is that you can really have a lot more fun with it. Trading within your group of mates, that sort of stuff's real fun. And upshot of that is, considering there's a limited amount of players and you're still all fighting for spots, there's still a lot of strategy and discussion that can be had on online forums to get ahead of your mates with. So it is exciting times. And do you know the show The League, Mark?
I do.
Yeah, I think it's in its fourth season now in America.
And it's based on a draft league, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The whole season, I think it's about like 13 episode seasons, is just every year they'll start off with the draft and they have name a league champion by the end. And they have this trophy called the Shiva that they all fight for, named after the first girl that one of them banged when they were in high school. So yeah, it's a great culture over there in America, and I certainly hope it takes off here. And we'll be getting pretty into it over at Supercoach Coach, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing I want to mention while we're going is we will be releasing leagues with the new site. Keep a league spot free because we will have some really good competitive leagues for you to join. Yeah, it's just a matter of keeping them free till we release everything.
Now, on to some actual player discussion. Do we want to do a bit of that? Do we have some time for that?
Yeah, I think so. It'd be good to get into that because we've got plenty to get through over the preseason. I think what we'll do first is we'll go with the locks. So these are the people that pick them in your team and then pick everyone else, because there should be 5 to 10 people that everybody has in their team. Like, for instance, I was going through the last 4 winners teams yesterday. Every single one of them had Franklin and Pavlich in their starting teams across all 4 years. And Deledio, Gibbs and Goddard were all pretty common as well. So, and Ablett, of course. So there are certain players that you pick in your team, and they should just be common throughout everyone. They should be in 100% of competitive teams. So we'll start with defense, Marcus. And the first player that I want to mention is, and I've got to say that I'm pretty excited about this as a bomber. Brennan Goddard, I think he's like 540,000, 550,000, going to play in the midfield all year for the Bombers. The Bombers are improving.
You are scary. I
could not be more excited about
this. You're scary, Mark, with Brennan Goddard. We've been talking on the show for a while now. You know, Faz, one of our podcast regulars, and FB Donkey are both fanatic Essendon boys. So we've been talking about for how long that you've been missing some midfield depth, some class, and bam, in the offseason, you get Brendan Goddard. It's a scary proposition. I think a midfield of Watson, Goddard, Stanton, Heppel,
Zaharakis.
That's pretty scary. That's a scary five. And so, yes, Goddard is in Essendon and certainly a lock for all Supercoach teams. Has been.
Yeah, seems pretty cheap at that price. Like, he's not really going to let you down an average much below 100, so even if he has a poor season. So you'd think that he could... in the past, he's been priced at 600 and people have picked him. So
yeah, and you know, we all know the advantage of, you know, moving to a new club that can often spur a big point jump up. And you know, Goddard wasn't performing up to scratch last year as well. So his output his average should be down on what he's actually capable of. So yes, certainly a lock. Is there any others in the defense, Mark? I think there's one guy that pops up every single year this time of year. And to be honest, I'm pretty sick about hearing of him in the preseason because clearly he just trains the house down. And I don't really care for good trainers if they don't turn into results year after year. But I guess eventually that's what the good trainers do. They do turn results, and that's exactly why we're still considering him. Bryce Gibbs, new coach, yep. Carlton Football Club. What will Carlton do this year? What will Gibbs do this year? I think it's a big one, you know, how you feel Carlton will do if you're thinking of picking Gibbs up, because I think certainly with a player like Gibbs, he's not the Judd, he's not the Murphy. His scoring is going to be more dependent on the team because there are the superstars getting, you know, churning big points. He's going to be reliant on the team's performance to punch out consistent hundreds.
At 509,000, and he's going to play most of the time in the midfield. I just don't see him being a massive fail pick.
I don't know. Will he play much time in the midfield, though?
Well, I guess every preseason that's the talk.
Yeah.
But
who knows? There's
definitely talk of freeing him up a little bit this year, and the fact that he will be able to play a little bit more outside.
It remains to be seen. Obviously, he's penned into my team for now, but I'm a bit shaky on you, Gibbs. You burnt me hard last year in Dream Team. I wasn't very
happy. With Deledio not available as a defender, I think Gibbs is even more of a lock this year, because in the past it would have been Goddard, Deledio, and then you could sort of think about Gibbs, but I think you have to have two of those super premium or premium defenders that are playing in the midfield that can score really well.
All right. Now, into the midfield, Mark, I think the obvious one, Gary Ablett.
I've actually seen a lot of discussion out there about Ablett. I think we'll probably talk about him again during the preseason. He has had a couple of niggles over summer, but he's not that expensive for Gary Ablett. They have a really good draw in the first 8 weeks, so yeah, he should be pretty locked. Is there any other midfield locks?
I don't think so, Mark, to be honest. With 8 midfielders available to us this year, I think in previous years you're probably wanting to lock up a few bona fide premiums. But this year with 8 midfielders, I think you can probably go, you know, a bit more lax in terms of the amount of ultra premiums, as we term them, that you have in your midfield, because, you know, there are more opportunities for high scoring midfielders anyway.
You'd probably only pick one, maybe two of the Collingwood players, but you could pick any of Pendlebury, Beams or Swan, and you might be quite confident with that selection. I guess I'd be remiss to not mention Trent Cotchin, though, obviously. Anybody that listened to the podcast last year would be aware that he would be an absolute lock in my team. He would have to break both his legs for me to not to pick him.
All right. Now to the rocks. It's interesting this year, Mark, because we've got a lot of value propositions.
The question is really... Again, the rocks are... not obvious. I think if Nottinghamy was fit, then he probably would be a lock. But then again, like, you can pick people like Nick Nat, Cox, Ryder, Roughhead, all as forwards or rucks this year. So there's a little bit more flexibility there and a few more options available.
Yeah, I think the real question this year is, do you go for, you know, your premiums in your actual ruck position? Or are you looking for two value ruckmen and therefore pushing out a rider or a roughhead in your forward line, starting them actually in your forward line, because you might want both Leuenberger and Hamish McIntosh, for example. So the question this year is, do you want to go for more value in the rucks? And I think that's a legitimate question because of the way they've changed Supercoach scoring. Now, 2 years ago, they made them a hell of a lot more competitive. So if you can pick up a ruckman that was previously injured, you're going to pretty much guarantee that you're going to get your money back in spades, because they're going to play as sole ruckman and all those tap outs are going to count for so many points that you don't really have to worry about them performing. You just have to worry about them getting on ground to make your value back.
Sure, and I'm sure that during the preseason we'll probably have most of an episode dedicated to rucks at some stage, because it is a fairly complex area. But do you see any locks in the ruck?
Matthew Leuenberger's got to be a lock. I mean, he's a genuine star of the competition. Such a young ruckman, and so mobile. Just wait till he becomes Cox-like. And
so cheap. Yeah. 301,000. If he plays every week, he's going to rise in value and make you some money, and should be able to raise himself up to a premium status and make a solid couple of $100,000.
I'm certainly excited about having him in my team. I've loved him for years, and he's a ruckman are hard to actually get into your team. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to support him, Mark.
Yeah, just note that he is coming back from an Achilles injury and only trained his full session for the first time in 10 months this week. So that is a really good sign that he was able to do that and his fitness is building. But there's probably still some things that you're going to have to watch with him over the preseason. Just make sure he is fully fit.
But then again, Ruffhead did come back from Achilles injury and did so well with that as well.
Yeah, he did. I think they talk about that as a bit of an exception though, because I know there was a lot of talk when he came back that, oh, he's definitely going to do it again and he won't play ruck, but he just did and he managed to hold up really well. What about the forwards, Marcus? I know in the past it's been, okay, you pick Buddy and then you pick the rest of your forwards.
Tommy Rockcliffe! Rockcliffe, Mark. We get him back in the forward line. Can you believe that? How exciting.
That is pretty good. I know he's had a really good preseason. Some of his scores were affected late last year by an injury.
This is not the excitement level I want.
Mid forward eligible. So 520, you think he's a lock?
He kicks like 6 goals and can still notch up 30 possessions. And we get him in the forward line again. Get more excited, Mark. That's Supercoach opened 2 days ago. Your excitement level's not where I want it. Rocky is certainly a lock.
What about Buddy? Is he a lock?
Boo. Put contract talks on hold, Mark. Do you see that one? Interesting.
Yeah, after what happened to Cloak last year, that is not a good sign for his Supercoach output.
But Buddy's such a champ. My thinking is he's decided to do it right at the start of the season. So he's like, boom, I'm not like Travis Cloak. I'm not going to half-ass this. I'm telling you, I'm going to perform so hard because I'm putting contract talks on hold when you offered me $1 million. So yeah. I'm expecting huge things from him. Maybe even can we go 100 goals in the season again, Mark? Maybe.
No. Well, didn't Jack win the Coleman with like 61 last year? So Buddy would definitely have to stay fit to be winning the Coleman.
Yeah, I think probably not.
I think there's enough doubts with the contract talk and the fact that Hawthorn have a really tough first 8 weeks to say he's not an absolute lock. He's probably going to be in most teams come round one, but he's not an absolute lock like you might say a Rockcliffe is. Yeah. Anyone else up forward? I'm going to put my hand up for Big Cox. I think that... Yeah, with Naito Nui, like, they're talking about him not playing for the first 8 weeks. And I think that there's a decent chance that Cox could be the highest scoring forward this year.
Dean Cox is an old man now, Mark. You've forgotten that. The guy's turning 32. He's a lock? A 32-year-old's a lock?
He's been the Supercoach king for so many years. The fact that he's available as a forward, Mark, and a ruck, I don't think there'll be too many teams going into the season without Dean Cox in their side, especially with the Naito Nui injury. If Nick Nat wasn't injured, things might be slightly different, but I just don't see many teams going in without him, and I think that you'll be punished if you do go into the season without him.
He's averaging 112, Mark, he's priced at 32. You gotta do a better sales pitch than just repeating his name 2 times to me. I'm not quite on the Coxie wagon. I love him as a player, and I will still consider him, but probably not a lucky lock for me. I think if I was looking for forward ruck, much right. What are you talking about, Mark? This Essendon fan trying not to talk about his players, Patrick Ryder. How's he not ahead of Dean Cox?
He's only averaged over 100 for one season.
Yeah.
It's an upward trend. He does have great durability, but so does Cox. Cox has averaged over 110 multiple times, and he's only $40,000 different. And also, I don't want to have too many bombers because I've already got Goddard and Heppel locked in.
Last year, Mark, Ryder had a lot of good, consistent games, and that's the thing that's most exciting about him. If I'm taking a look at his scores now, up to round 15, St. Kilda, and then he didn't play round after that. So I guess he did some sort of niggle injury in round 15. Is that right?
It was a more significant injury. And if you look back at his games played, it's the first time he's really been injured in his career.
Yeah, he's been notching up 21, 22 games a season. So, all right, if you take that round 15 up, round 1 to 14, his lowest scores were 72, 88, and then 94, Mark. Ryder's consistency is brilliant, and we all know his potential for high scoring. He scored 165 in round 1 with 33 hitouts and 20 possessions against North Melbourne.
Definitely on my watch list, mate. I think Bell Chambers is a little bit of a concern for me, that he will take a lot of the ruck role away from Ryder. So Ryder would be, if he was going to be playing number one ruck all the time, then you would lock him in. But I don't think he's quite going to be in that role. And looking at Coxie, he scored over 190 twice last year. I don't think Ryder is going to do that too often. Cox has played four out of the last five seasons. He's played every game. And in four of those years, he's averaged over 110, including a 122 in 2011. Ryder's still young, but he hasn't got stats anywhere near that.
Mm. And we do have, you know, most pundits talking about West Coast going for a flag this year, whereas a lot of the pundits are still questioning whether Essendon can actually break into the eight, even with Goddard.
Thanks for supporting my argument.
Yeah, no worries. I just, the only way I was going to do it was, you know, a little sidekick to Essendon's hopes, you know.
No, I'm pretty bullish about the Bombers. I'll try not to talk about it too much then.
Yeah, I know. You're afraid that, you know, 10 weeks down the track, I'm going to throw egg in your face again.
Yeah, like after last year. The pain,
the year before.
I could still feel it.
And the year before. All right, so is that it?
Geelong supporters are up and about. I get it.
We are. We got three very exciting blokes in our football team now. Jared Rivers, Hamish McIntosh, Josh Caddy. Let's see what we can do with it. Hopeful more than anything, but it's just exciting to get some new boys into the team. We've been just developing talent for years now, so it's nice to see some fresh faces.
All right, well, it's good to be back, but we are going over time, so we should probably end it there. And we've got plenty more to discuss over the preseason, and the next podcast will be getting even closer to the launch of the new site.
Yep, certainly will be. So I think, yeah, we'll do one more either at the launch or before the launch. So keep tuned to this space, and yeah, supercoachcoach.com.au, get on it. All good?
Mm-hmm.